This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Come board my rocket ship. Buckle up, let's ride. Get ready for the lift. I want to show you what the planets. Fly you to the moon. I want to send you into warp drive. Into the twilight zone. I want to orbit around Uranus. Open up the hatch. See life down there. Any crab I can catch. Cause I'll always be a behemoth, y'all. Anywhere I go. Eating plenty crab pot. I'm marching up some dough. Y'all be heading in deep space. Yes, we heading in deep space. Look ya, young boy got plenty action. Old boy know how to pace. Get ready for the blast off. We heading in. Yes, man.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh new smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2026, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. I'm a little out of breath, you know. I tried to use a little time I had just now to tell Shannon Doyle Cartwright everything on my heart. Every single thing. And I tell him, oh, he's never in a rush. He's right, bicycle through his constituency. I know he ain't in a rush. But he was very accommodating, and I appreciate that. Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's start the show off. I got to start the show off by saying happy birthday to two very, very special women. Today, if you all know a woman from South Andres named Joycelyn Frazier, today is her birthday. Today is the day you guys reach out to her and say, hey, cousin, how you doing? I hope you're having a great, great birthday. And we're going to say happy belated birthday to Mrs. Leela Green. That's right. Happy belated birthday to Mrs. Leela Green. She tell me, don't tell y'all her age, because she feels like that's why she's missed her blessing. Everybody's played a number before she could play it. Anyway, happy, happy birthday to those two ladies and all of the people celebrating birthdays today. We've got lots to talk about. The papers are hot. The numbers to call are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. 325-4259 and 242-300-5720. Text line, as always, 422-4796. That's 422-GR96. There's a text here right off the top. This texter must have been reading today's Guardian. They're referencing the story Thompson biometric cards now available, and the texter says Killarney, Carmichael, and St. James. Biometric cards are the first to be collected. Why are these areas first for collection? Is it because this is where most of the new voters from the South lives? They really think Bahamians are fools. Texter. Okay, come on, hold on. Let's break this right down. I don't think it's unreasonable for the first set of cards to be released, processed, and available for pickup to be the constituencies that have seen the most significant shifts. That may be the case, right? You have an entirely new constituency. You want to give those people as much time as possible to be able to get their cards. I don't think, you know, sometimes we ascribe or we place malfeasance or wrongdoing where it likely doesn't exist. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a critical mind, right? It just means that maybe we know the full rationale for the decision, but it could be something as simple as they've prioritized either the constituencies with the largest shifts, right, the greater shifts. Also, it gives those constituencies a longer period of time. If you start with them, to pick up the card. I don't see a problem with it. I mean, it makes the process a bit more organized, right? We know we're processing all of the St. James over this week, all of the Carmichael over this week. I don't think this is the space to ascribe malfeasance or wrongdoing, but we could touch on the story quickly. Biometric cards now available. Parliamentary Commissioner Harrison Thompson yesterday confirmed that biometric voters' cards are now available. Thompson told the Nassau Guardian the cards are currently being issued to voters in West Grand Bahama and the New Providence constituent of Carmichael, Killarney, and St. James, and thus far, the distribution process has been going smoothly. Quote, giving out cards on a daily basis, close quotes, Thompson said. Quote, it's a steady process. People are interested in picking up their cards, close quotes. Okay, that's great. I would still feel more comfortable. Not comfortable that there's no malfeasance going on, but more comfortable that our systems are evolving and enhancing, right, to provide or create more efficiency and efficacy, right? But so what I would like to hear when you're going to make a statement like this, you could say, we're averaging 30 biometric cards a day. The first week we averaged, the first month we, right? We averaged 20 cards per day, and now we're averaging 150 cards a day. We expect to drop off shortly, right? All of this just empty words suggest to us that you're not as tightly attuned, right, as you should be to the sector. We shouldn't be less than a year away from a general election for this process to begin. It's one of the most important processes, right? It should not be dependent on a political culture, right? The culture of the administration at the time. It should be a standard process and timeline. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning. How are you doing, Ms. Green?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to individuals that are scared to get the biometric cards, thinking that the government wouldn't know all the information? Because some people, right, are actually under perception that they're actually afraid to get it based on the fact that that the government would know all of the information, not knowing that if they have a passport which has the EM card in it,
mm-hmm.
the government already know your information.
Yeah. Okay, right. Absolutely, right. So, but here's the thing. I don't need a passport to be able to vote. Nowhere in the Constitution it says that you have to have a passport to be able to vote. It says you have to be a Bahamian citizen. And Bahamian citizens can get passports, but that don't mean you have to have one, right? So I would say to those people, listen, sit and, like, you concerned, sit and think for a moment, right? I, too, am concerned. I'm not sure, because I haven't seen it, nor have I seen a rationale for it, right? The policy statement vis-a-vis biometric data, the protection of it, right? Who's responsible for securing it? Who's liable if there's a breach? I don't know if there are terms that restrict the government or any third party contract from selling said information. So the point you made that for many people, the government will have already collected their biometric data, right, through processing a new electronic passport. However, do we have a law that says either each individual ministry, agency, or right for purpose must receive the information directly from the candidate, from the individual, as opposed to the Parliamentary Registration Department could call the passport office and say, here's our list of people we need biometric data for all of them. Is there legislation that says that's permissible? Is there legislation that says that's not permissible? Right? These are the spaces, I think, which people should be asking questions. So the first thing is, you're not required to have a passport to vote. That's it's another form of verification of your citizenship, but it's not required. Secondarily, I think people have reasonable concerns around the issue if their concerns are about the technical issues, like who is responsible for keeping the data safe. If a third-party contractor is holding the data for the purpose of processing it, do they bear liability if the data is breached while it's in their system? Will the government be selling our biometric data for petty change? I saw a recent story, I wish I had it in front of me, where I think it may have been Kenya, right? They had begun a medical, a multinational health policy agreement with the United States. I think it's an African state. And when the country revealed to its citizens that a part of the deal was access to citizens' data, it may be a Caribbean territory, access to citizens' data, the citizens told the government no, right? In the midst of this conversation with the United States of America about where we're allowed to get nurses to save our lives, in that conversation, would the government tell us that a part of an agreement that they signed with the U.S. government is to give the U.S. government access to our biometric data and health records? I don't think the concern is around the technology itself. The concern is around the state's preparedness for taking on the task or burden of handling sensitive data of this nature. Here's a text. Morning, Aaron. Since a birth certificate does not indicate citizenship, so how does one prove citizenship in order to register and to vote? The government has to provide in law to secure biometric data. Otherwise, it should not be used. So there's two separate points, right? But hold on, so birth certificates do not indicate on the certificate whether you are a citizen or not at birth? Are we not advancing at the pace that the political class suggests we're advancing at? The second point is just affirming the government has to provide in law to secure biometric data. I hope to see the laws. Like I say, the commentary coming from individuals who have been appointed to lead national agencies is disappointing, to say the least. We could refer to yesterday's story, officials seek extensions after missing disclosure deadline. Bishop Cooper, when asked, I'm going to read right now. When contacted on March 6th, Public Disclosures Committee Chairman, Bishop Victor Cooper said he did not have a rough figure for how many officials had filed and was unable to provide details because the board had not yet met. This is number four? Another wholly and totally unacceptable statement. See, in the school system, students would be shamed in some school environments for continually appearing like a dunce in front of others. But here's a question I have, right? If Cooper is unable to even give rough figures, right? He didn't say, listen, I don't have the precise data because we haven't met yet. He said, I can't even give you a rough figure, right? Then when these people say that they have sought extensions to file their annual financial disclosures. When will the extensions be approved? If the board hasn't met yet, who did they submit the extensions request to the email address that goes to the computer in the office with the mother they can't go to? And how are extensions approved? And there was an article in yesterday's paper with Pintard suggesting the FNM secured the next administration that they would fully implement an information along with other, I think, the Ombudsman Act. But the question I have is, Leader of the Opposition, right now you have the capacity to forward names to be prosecuted for not fulfilling the requirements of the respective legislation. And yet nothing. What suggests to me in all of this that you are prepared to do the things that have not been done yet but ought to have been done? If you become Prime Minister, will you ensure that the declarations are gazetted and those who fail to meet the standard or the requirement that they're brought before the courts and either fined or jailed? Will you give the committee the budget necessary to operate properly so they could buy some computers, so Bishop Cooper wouldn't be traveling all around the Caribbean being amazed at the technology they have available to them? You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand what it looks like to send people to London for the Golden Jubilee and put them up at the Savoy to sing for foreigners and don't tell Bahamians about it, but you cannot afford to properly resource and budget the Public Disclosure Committee? All right, let's go to another text. It's not as simple as the caller said for a passport, considering that the e-passport was required due to external security pressures. I would assume that the government had to meet very strict standards for the storage of that data. With the voter's card, the data is being copied, quote, somewhere else, close quotes. We don't know who is at or has access to, quote, somewhere else, close quotes. Remember, these people still waiting on an adding machine for financial disclosure compliance. This is just another very, very simple process. And I wonder, like, what is the Bar Association doing? What do the members of the Bar Association do? Why, like, how you feel comfortable holding such prestige in a society but offering far less than you could be offering? Right? Because this is a sweet, juicy legal situation right here. In universities and law schools around the world, the young people them and the old people them would be chomping at the bits for an opportunity to dissect this legal matter and give opinions. But we're in the Bahamas. We're in the Bahamas. It's a different place. So I got a couple more stories on the board. I was disturbed by the number of stories referencing sexual violence in young people, particularly after the incident with the shooting of the dog. And I know people say, well, that's a wild link to make, right? But we've seen study after study after study is showing us that we have issues with aggression, right? We had a recent study where we looked at, in part two, right, we looked at the links between corporal discipline and punishment as children and aggression in intimate partner relationships. If I could read the name of the study, a description of intimate partnerships in the Bahamas and their association with adult aggression and other experiences. The study builds off data collected in a previous study of 5,351 Bahamian adults, which investigated childhood experiences of corporal punishment and adult aggression. Right? And that article is National Guardian UB study examines link between social norms and aggression in relationships. So I have this article because this study builds off data collected in a previous study, which investigated, again, childhood experiences of corporal punishment and adult aggression. We have a social problem. Yesterday, I online, just video after video after video of young people fighting. And there's something very interesting is that not all of the fights are what we would very quickly label as gang activity, right? Like one group from another space is clashing with a group from a different space and they're fighting. No, a number of these videos ended with commentary suggesting that the people who were fighting, A, were friends, and B, this is what friends is do sometimes, right? We have normalized this violence in our town. We have normalized it. Here's a text, though. Ms. Green, speaking of technology, why is it that the police are still carrying out search warrants with cams, man? It's frightening to know that they can come into your home in the 21st century with the latter. This is not justice, given the reputation of the force. Hold on. So you are concerned that police are conducting search warrants with cameras? But you're saying that potentially the cameras could be used like as surveillance? But text a man, that's just, first of all, producer, please prep the caller. First of all, I would recommend that all search warrants be conducted with body cameras, right? And if an incident happens, then you could refer to the incident report, right? So say your house was broken into after the police came and searched it. You could refer to an incident report to begin your investigations. But no, all search warrants, people should wear body cameras. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Ms. Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Yeah, you know why these children behaving how they behaving how it is?
Tell me.
They behaving how it is because we normalize being friends with our kids. We no longer parents, we friends.
I think
buddies with them. We jocks with them.
I think that's a part
of it. Back in the day, you get in a fight in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of normalized going by a place named Lorraine's to pick up a leather belt.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you get beat when you reach home.
Mm-hmm.
These children don't get punished nowadays. They get rewarded for, but I bet you anything, right? Right when they reach home, they can get a PlayStation 5 for fighting in school.
That ain't no true. I mean, I appreciate the hyperbole to make the point, right? I appreciate the hyperbole to make the point, but ain't no PlayStation 5. That's like a mortgage. That's like a month away to rent. Ain't nobody doing that. However, hold on. However, you present a great starting point, right? I think what's happened is not, there are some people who behave like friends with their kids because they don't understand the parenting that they received. But I think really where the problem lies is how children interpret what's happening in that space, right? And in proximity to their parents. I'm going to tell you all this. Kids that watch their parents run red lights and obey old traffic controls and social rules, like kids who watch their parents jump the line, ignore the cue, saying, pardon me, good morning, excuse me. In those spaces, the kids begin to not as the dominant authority figure because you're not leading with sense. You're just leading with fear of physical violence. Okay, so the texter said they meant to say without cameras. Okay, we are on the same page, texter. Definitely. Every warrant, all officers involved should be mandated to wear body cameras, and the footage should be made available of and the occupants of any establishment that a search warrant had been conducted in. I don't think that's unreasonable. Let's go to the phone line, producer, before I delve into some more story, because I get stories. I mean, the news has stories.
Good morning. Put me on the show, please. Good morning. How are you?
You on the show, sir. Good
morning. Oh, man. Ms. Green, how you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you.
Ms. Green, I am... Listen carefully, man. I love this country.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate behavior. You know, this is the only country I know. Talking about the body cameras.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where do you think we live in? It's like, why are they trying to shield us from the world? We just watch body cameras on NBC, CBS, on how do the cops shoot that person live on camera. Why? Please, help me. Why that we can't be an open book? Understand me? Why would the body cameras have to be shown only to the family victim or let them say what is supposed to be said? It's like, you have mm-hmm. noticed this country is always in the dark. The public... It's like they hide so much things from the public. Like, what? I mean, we don't know what the world does. We don't know what the world offers. So you trying to hide something, we always going to think you have it, you're hiding. You're doing something that you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a society that's recorded. You
yeah.
understand me?
Yes.
So them not showing something with a body cam in and nude us, we seeing worse on the worldwide stage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You understand what I'm saying? It's why everything is so secretive in this country. We're the most backwardest Caribbean island. Other countries just moving along and passing up.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? That's my only problem with these body cameras. We ain't crazy. We ain't fooled. We could dissect what we're looking at. We're not crazy.
I got you,
Cole. That's
Cole.
What I'm trying to say, Ms. Green. Good show. Keep it a good work, man. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love you. A sound point that you're making. But I remember the Prime Minister just a couple of weeks ago, let's prep the next caller, saying that he thinks that there are great potential benefits for Bahamians in AI. In 2026, you know, he said that out loud with his own mouth. He wasn't singing or humming, that he thinks benefits and opportunities for Bahamians in AI. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I called because it was a topographical error, and I thought you would have noticed that.
No, I did. Really, I said it out loud.
It is without cameras. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm not perfect. I'm just saying that incidents in the past in which I've had, you know, friends, and just, I'm not just calling as this is a selfish call because people have reached out and touched me where jewelries have been missing, et cetera, money. Even personally with me years ago, and even so, I've suffered it twice. Never compensated when you go to the complaint unit. So what they say is, where's the evidence? Thing is, it's between a rock and a hard place,
mm-hmm.
and they watch in face. So it's a big disgrace. And so in the 21st century that they have turned it into, they should not be allowed to come into people's homes without full documentation of video and audio. Because it's
mm-hmm.
like living the gospel according to the police and saying that they are in, right?
Yeah.
And they are beyond reproach.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And it can't work like that. It's the onus is too much on the citizen.
And the cameras protect everybody without ascribing
and
blame.
God-like status.
Yeah.
Give thanks, yeah.
Blessings. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so I got another issue I want to raise just because people are thinking about it. If policymakers are thinking about it, if any NGOs or civil society sector organizations are speaking about it, and Carla, we're coming to you in a second. So we have a lot of cameras at home, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force has an initiative where they have requested, if you have security cameras, allow the force access to your cameras, your external cameras, right, for the purpose of whatever. And so my thing is this, if, we right now are still in a country where the U.S. records all our calls, all the calls, right? All the calls. And the government doesn't seem to or hasn't made a policy statement or demanded that it stop or remove permissions or authorizations or access to said data or the access to the mechanism that they're using to access the data, right? Well, what about the video cameras? Let's go to the phone line to the last caller. Sorry, I lost you. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Oh, man. It was just 3 seconds, caller. I'm sorry. I missed you, right? So if the U.S. is still recording all of our calls, right, do we have mechanisms in place to ensure that the data captured on cameras and that the police may have access to cannot be breached by any outside factors, or that they, any external party has been permission or authorization to access said data? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wondering, all of our calls, or are they sampling, looking for certain keywords, you know, and then begin to record? But I'm sure they're recording all of my calls.
Uncle, behave then.
Yeah, but, you know, what I'm trying to get at is there are some of us who don't behave, and they will be recording all of the calls. But that ain't what I won't go too deep with, because I probably could tell you something more about that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our officials are ashamed to have police officers wear body cams, because it would demonstrate the decaying society that they are representing.
Mm.
Yeah. When you see the Minister of National Security, he doesn't feel any shame when you mention to him that persons have to use slop bucket. It doesn't make him feel embarrassed, even if he goes on the international scene. I think that's something. See, this imbalance that you see between decay and growth is what they are more concerned about trying to balance. Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why you would see the society would be decaying, and further decaying, the citizens would be shouting out, we are drowning, but the authorities are saying, you know, I only need 10% of y'all to vote for me, or 1% to vote for me. In fact, if 90% of y'all don't vote, and my 10% vote, I could still win.
It's a better chance for me.
It's a better chance for me to win. And that's what they're dealing with, okay?
Mm.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. All right, producer, let's take a break. Now's a good time for a break. Is that the new caller? No. All right. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, let me see how I wrote it down. So somebody told me that last night in Grand Bahama at the thing, the big fancy thing that maybe was supposed to be a debate. I don't know. I don't think it was supposed to be a debate because these said don't like debates. But somebody told me that Pintard was booed at. Right? I know Grand Bahama people ain't booing Pintard. So when we come back from the break, could somebody tell me who was booing Pintard and was Davis in the room at the time? Stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're coming right back.
Going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying the school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want body call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest with the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no.
For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, reading the newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh, we're by fast, from beyond the stars. Come on! We heading in the space.
We taking the guns.
Oh, we heading in the space.
We taking the guns.
Good morning, welcome back to On The Clock with Aaron Deep in Space Green. Okay, so I got two, three stories I want to touch on before we end the show. In today's Nassau Tribune, page 2. There's a headline. SpaceX donates $1 million to UBI to build nationally owned satellite and expand STEM research. I'm going to read from the first paragraph. See, even the caller dropped their own call just now when they heard that. The University of the Bahamas has secured a $1 million donation from Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, a.k.a. SpaceX, to support the development of a nationally built satellite and expand science and technology research, according to a press statement issued by the university. What is happening, people? To build a nationally, who can build it? Because if it's built in another jurisdiction by technical staff that are not Bahamian, is it nationally owned, really? Just because we paid for it? What you mean? What are you all talking about? And then here's the next thing. Just $1 million? Did they have to share? Because it'll be shared between building the satellite and expanding science and technology research. What are we doing? Because all I'm saying is, if you have $1 million to give people, just give it to me. Just give it to me. This is the wildest thing that I've ever read. They can't even build stop signs. They can't build a policy rationale to present to the public. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Two things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, somebody, only you one can understand this first one, but I told a coconut boy the other day not to bother with my coconut trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I went to go pick them the other day, they were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And these young boys need to be told and warned. But you don't know what's going to happen. I try to stay out the kidney ward by drinking my coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
And growing my own coconut, and they just come and steal them.
Mm-hmm. This is the country that's successful. This is the successful country right here. This is the one.
I felt invaded, you know what I mean?
You were invaded. It's called theft.
Yeah.
It's called theft.
Yeah,
They broke into...
That hurt me.
And it's worse because you already told them no.
Right.
So they said to hell with you and your property lines.
The only person I can talk to about this is you because you understand the growing of your true trees for your purpose and to harvest them.
See, but
and
I could...
They just come to...
I could also... Hold on, but I could also understand how they may feel justified in their actions because somebody told them they could do this. And there are other people who are telling them things like, man, them people ain't doing nothing with their coconuts. You might as well just go take them.
I went to go cut them the other day and I put my coconut water in the freezer and found some to drink for about a month. And all gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing, the $1 million that the university got. I think they should be allowed to just, if they, whatever they're given, you give it to them and let them tinker and experiment, because most things that are invented or found was by mistake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they may find something useful in tinkering with the money and find something, and invent something that we, the Bahamian, would be recognized for.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you go through experiments by trial and error. And that's a good bit of money for them in physics and chemistry and all that to have, I would say. That's what the university is for.
Yeah, I for research and development, yes.
Right.
For a
most things
for a nationally
found,
built satellite?
Yeah,
you know who could build satellite?
Found by accident.
True.
So you can't say exactly what you want out of the money.
I got
you. Play with that and tinker with that. And hope he sends some more rockets up in space.
Okay.
And send a couple more million.
Listen, I always like it when we could agree and then when we could disagree at the same time because I had no more rockets. I good. But thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It's a great point that you make, right? Like, put it in research and development. Don't tell them they have to build a satellite with it. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. You know, I was just listening to the gentleman who was talking about the coconut situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered whether or not we actually did, I mean, those guys who were doing selling coconut and whatnot, if they realized that, and most of us realize that that is a seasonal business. And what I mean by that is that we don't have sufficient enough coconut for that business to be sustainable.
Pause. Hold on. Stick a pin. We do. I'm telling you. Hold on. I'm telling you that we do. The problem is that they're not all in one place.
Well, let me just share this with you. I travel every island in the Bahamas for various different businesses and so forth. And when I say it's not sustainable, the problem why it's not sustainable is because of the same people that are in the business. They're not giving the coconuts enough time to mature to a certain point before they start picking. Do you remember what is the gestation time for coconuts become an adult where actually it has enough water to make sense to take it down?
We looking at what, 3 months?
No, man, more than that. And that's why I said, if you notice, the amount of persons who are selling coconut water have reduced tremendously over the time period of which when, you know, when that first kicked out during the pandemic time and so forth. And if we look at the sustainability of it, the problem is the same people who are selling it are the problem to the same industry that they are part of. And that is why I say it's not sustainable, because I'm going to guarantee you, a lot of these guys are not going to have the stuff shipped from maybe this island, that island, because by the time they didn't do the shipping and everything, an island cost, it's not viable for them. And the bad part about it on the family islands, you still have the same people turning around, picking mature coconut, I mean, immature coconut, and actually not allowing coconut to see full fruition. So that's why I said, and it's not a sustainable long-term business. And you could ask any coconut vendor around here, how difficult. That's why the man is having problems. That's why a lot of people have problems.
Pause. We don't have any real coconut vendors around here. Let's just stick a pin. Hold on. Let us just stick a pin. I hear what you're saying. I just want to turn it on its side slightly so we could look at it from a different angle. Because you're not wrong, right? But I think we're using the wrong language and looking at it from the wrong angle. The industry in and of itself is sustainable. It's obvious that the people who are in the industry are counterproductive for industry growth. Because of the search that leads them to that industry. They may be marginalized from mainstream employment from a number of reasons. Like they didn't pay attention in school and they're functionally illiterate. Like they could read, but they don't ever make sense of what they're doing on the job. Right? Those people who would rely, on picking coconut, it then becomes evident that they don't have sufficient literacy to be able to run a sustainable business. The same thing that happens with the bus drivers, you know. We got a lot of people who are they've been marginalized from mainstream employment. They end up driving bus, but they don't have sufficient functional literacy to be allowed to be in charge of a moving vehicle. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the point that you're making. It's not that the industry in and of itself is unsustainable, but with the current actors in it, it is definitely unsustainable. But it's also unsustainable because the same people that there's a particular word that gave them life, right? That suggested to them that they should do this, is government actors. Those same government actors had a coconut mulching machine at the 2024 Agribusiness Expo. Right. And then the next year, they had a Coconut 360 Expo in Rawson Square, in Rawson Square on a Thursday from 11 to 3. Right. But the coconut mulching machine is nowhere to be found. So when you drive past Montague Foreshore, right, Dick's Point, when you're moving from Montague to Dick's Point, and you see the pile of coconuts there, do you know those young men, they don't scoop the jelly out to serve?
Yeah.
And they don't, take the shell out for jewelry makers, and they don't take the coconut husk to the pig farmer or to the coconut husk mulching machine to break down and make 35 different soil products. Because the same people who told them go out there and do this are the ones who had the resources to make it a real industry, but they didn't, right? So I you know why I thought? Not just because Strawn and Cartwright take all my time, but because I was in a fancy, it wasn't even a fancy food store. I was in a regular food store, right? And they had imported coconut water inside the coconut inside the store in the Bahamas. The Bahamas.
Yep. That's where it's going to. That's what I tell you.
Listen, but I got to go. I got another call I can give 30 seconds. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds.
If it's green, tell the individual, put 3 pit bulls in the yard, that's always a problem. Because once they climb the tree, pit bulls are excellent climbers.
That's something, eh?
That would most definitely solve this problem.
I train in raccoons. That's what I'm doing. I train in raccoons. Okay, so all I wanted to know is, who was booing the PM? And a text here says, I think Pintard was booed for his statements on not destroying the GBPA. Okay. So you're telling me the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas was in the room and people was just carrying on bad? Like the protocol hadn't been established? Like this wasn't a serious event? And then I look at the pictures in today's Nassau Guardian and I see the beautiful cheerleaders. Those young ladies, they look great. This is no critique on them. And then I see the big tubas in the back. So you all had a party. That's what happened. So this is a party. Because I was thinking that some independent civil society or non-governmental organization requested the Prime Minister come to a town hall meeting to speak to the GBPA matter. But when I read this thing that say, we're reading from the article on the front of today's Guardian, PM's, so, charge town hall in GBC's FNM and PL supporters clash. The room was filled with PLP supporters, many wearing, quote, safe with brave hats. You can blow your whistle when they say safe with brave. Before any of the speakers got started, the moderator, Joan Davis, Roll, lauded Davis and at another point shouted the PLP slogan, quote, Forward ever, backwards never, close quotes. Okay. First, it was the $1 million for us to build a satellite. When did forward ever, backward never become a PLP slogan? Y'all just gonna keep everything? Everything? Rasta man can't even have that? We can't even have that. I'm not a Rasta, but I stand in solidarity with them in this moment. I thought y'all was talking sense in Grand Bahama. I thought this was a serious national event. Oh, come on, man. Please. I wonder how much money that costs and how much money the hospital need right now. Anyway, you guys, thank you for your time. Producer, thank you for your patience. Thank you for the calls and texts. Oh, boy, I didn't get to all of them. Aaron, I like the way you put it. Bus drivers don't have enough functional literacy to be professional. I would also say they don't have enough moral literacy to stop touching our little girls. That's up me. It's not all bus drivers, but we know there are far too many. Have a great day, because C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Happy International Women's Month.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.